What's up, everybody? It's Rampage Hand 420. I'm back to do another DraftKings breakdown for UFC 255. So saying that, let's dig into the first fight of the night. We have Nicholas Dalby, a plus 290 dog, versus Daniel Rodriguez, a minus 320 favorite. And on DraftKings, we have Daniel Rodriguez as a 9,100. And then we have Dalby coming back at 7,100. And I'm like Daniel Rodriguez a lot in this spot. The volume on the feet, the power he throws with, the technical boxing, I think is just going to be way too much for this version of Nicholas Dalby. As we've seen in recent fights, Dalby really isn't what he used to be. His whole career, he's been known for being able to take lots of damage and being able to work himself back in the fights as they go on. But as we've seen the last year or two, we've seen he isn't able to take the damage he once was. He's getting rocked more and more, and his last fight was very concerning, where he got badly hurt with a left hook, and that's what Daniel Rodriguez's best punches. And I just don't think Dalby will be able to keep up at all with the output that Rodriguez throws with. And I think Rodriguez is one of the safest plays on the slate at 9,100. He has great upside, as we've seen before. His DraftKings scores in his three fights are 127, 125, and 124. So he has some of the biggest upside on the entire slate, even in decision. And he is going to be in the cash core and the cheat sheet that I make. And I also love him in GPPs. So I'm going to have lots of Rodriguez. And Dalby, I didn't even put him on the cheat sheet. If you're somebody that makes 50 or 100 lineups and you want to throw him in one or two, be my guest. But besides that, I don't think you need to have any at all. The next fight of the night, we have Lewis Kosk making his UFC debut as a minus 475 favorite against Sasha Palatnikov as a plus 420 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Kosk as the second most expensive fighter at 9,300 and Palatnikov at 6,900. And I like Kosk a lot in this spot. This is a matchup where he should really be able to shine. I feel like Sasha Palatnikov, he's more of a serviceable journeyman that will probably be able to hang around the UFC for a few fights. But I don't see him having much success. There isn't any areas where he really stands out. He throws with decent volume on the feet, and he has solid power, but it really pales in comparison to what Lewis Kosk has to offer, who, as we've seen, has finished every single one of his fights in the first round, which is obviously great for DraftKings, but also we don't know what he's going to look like if this fight drags on into round two or round three. So because of that, I do like Kosk. Primarily in GPPs, and I do think he offers a nice low-owned, high-upside GPP play that makes a nice contrarian pivot off of Rodriguez, Figueiredo, Buckley, and Shevchenko. And with Palatnikov, like I said, again, if you're somebody that's going to be making over 25, 50-plus lineups, you want to throw Palatnikov in a lineup or two, be my guest. But besides that, I have no interest at all in him. So again, just to recap, the play on DraftKings is Lewis Kosk at 9,300, and I am going to pick him to win by first round knockout. Moving on to the next fight tonight, we have Alan Joban coming in at a minus 140 favorite versus Jaron Gooden at a plus 130 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Joban coming in at 8,300, and then we have Gooden coming back at 7,900. And with Gooden, and when I was breaking down film of him, I really didn't find anything that was overly too impressive. He does have decent power in his hands, but he's really reliant on one shot. He doesn't really throw good combinations. He knows he has that KO power in his hands, and he tries to force it instead of just kind of pitter-pattering his opponents until the big punch comes. So he is very readable. And I think a guy like Joban, who's a very savvy vet, has some really good UFC wins. Although he is getting older now, he's going to be 39 soon. I just think Joban's going to be too crafty. He's going to be too slick on the feet. I think you get takedowns if you want, and Gooden is really awful on his back, which is a major concern in this spot. So I do think Gooden's going to carry some ownership on DraftKings, but I'm definitely going to be underweight on Gooden just because, like I said, besides carrying some good power in his punches, I don't really think he offers much else. And I honestly don't really think he's UFC level, or if maybe he's bottom barrel UFC level. And I just, like I said, I just think a guy like Joban's going to be too crafty and will be able to win a decision in this spot. If Joban decides to wrestle, I definitely think definitely think he could have success there, but I'm going to pick Joubin to win a pretty clear decision on the feet. And as we've seen, Joubin has scored pretty well in his DraftKings on his wins. If we look at his scores, he has wins of 132, which was a finish, 84 in a decision, 92 in a decision, and 70 decision. And then he has 116, 109, and 96 in KO wins. So I think with Joubin at 8,300, I think worst case scenario, you're probably looking at low 80s in a win. And I mean, he has GPP winning upside well north of 100 points. So Joubin is going to be the play here. I do have him marked down as a cash and GPP play on the cheat sheet. I probably prefer him slightly more in GPP just because, like I said, he is almost 39 now, and eventually that chin's going to fall off a cliff. But I do like Joubin in this spot, and I'll probably be slightly overweight on DraftKings. And with Gooden, like I said, I'm going to be underweight to the field, even though I still will have a few shares because he is KO or bust. Moving on to the next fight of the night, which should be a fun one, we have Kyle Daukaus coming in as a minus 290 favorite versus Dustin Stoltzfus at a plus 265 dog. And I am going to pick Daukaus in this fight, but I really think this fight's going to be much, much closer than people are making it out to be. I think Stoltzfus will be able to get off to a fairly solid early start in the first round. I think he could land a few takedowns, and he does have solid power in his hands, so I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's able to land some good shots on Daukaus. It's just Daukaus is going to be the bigger fighter. He's going to be much stronger. I think Stoltzfus should probably consider dropping down to 170. It seems like his body is more suited for that weight class, and I think he's going to be out-muscled and just going to be out-willed in the tough spots, especially in the mat against a guy like Daukaus, who we know is very, very, very good grappling. He throws with good combinations on the feet. He is pretty hittable, so like I said, Stoltzfus, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he can land some big shots and possibly wobble him. And as I mentioned as well, I think Stoltzfus can land a couple of takedowns. It's just, as the fight goes on, I think Daukaus will be able to use his size, especially on the mat, to start to break Stoltzfus, and potentially leading to a late sub or a decision. So I do like Daukaus. I don't love the salary, I'll be honest. I think there's other fighters in that same range I like more, kind of like Buckley at 8,900, Figgy at 9,000, guys like Moreno, Calvillo, they're even cheaper than Daukaus. So I will have a couple of shares of Daukaus in GPPs, but he's definitely not going to be a priority for me. And with Stoltzfus, he's definitely a fine GPP punt. It's just the more I dug into this fight, the more I just became concerned that Daukaus will be able to really put it on him on the mat. So I'll probably end up being somewhere around 28 to 30, like max. I'll have 27-28% Stoltzfus, but it might even be a little bit lower than that. So in general, again, the play is going to be Daukaus. If you want to throw Stoltzfus in a GPP lineup or two, it's fine. But this isn't a fight I'm really going out of my way to get into a majority of my lineups, even though it does have sneaky upside. There's probably four or five other fights that I do think have the potential to be optimal over this one. So saying that, moving on to the next fight, I don't really have too much interest in this. We have Antonina Shevchenko as a minus 150 favorite against Ariane Lipski as a plus 140 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Antonina Shevchenko at 8,400. And then we have Lipski coming back at 7,800. And with Antonina Shevchenko, she's the older sister of the champion Valentina Shevchenko. And Antonina doesn't have one millionth of the talent that Valentina has. Antonina has some, obviously, she is a very solid Muay Thai and kickboxing on the feet. There's good straight shots, but she is very hittable. And when her takedown defense is pretty poor. And when she's on her back, I mean, Antonina looks like she's a dead turtle that's upside down. So it's at a salary of 8,600, when there's other fighters in that same rank, at a salary of 8,400, when we have other fighters like Joubin, Perry, Means, Craig, Moreno, Calvillo, all above and below her, I think it's going to be borderline impossible for Shevchenko to be optimal, especially in this matchup. And I've always seen in her other fights, in her two wins, she has 76 points and then 81 points, and both of them were decisions. And then if we've seen in her losses, she's been just destroyed on the ground. And I think that is going to be the path to victory for Lipsky here. I think it's hard to trust her to commit to a wrestling heavy game plan. But I do think Lipsky will be able to hang in there in the feet. I think she can. Her volume has been a little bit down since she's came to the UFC, but as we've seen on the regional scene, she threw with way more output than she is now. So I think eventually, now that she's been in the UFC for four fights, I think she's kind of starting to find her groove. She'll settle down more, and then we'll see her real skills start to come out. And I just think over the span of three rounds, I think Lipsky will be able to do more, and especially when she has a massive, massive hole in Shevchenko's game that she can exploit with a grappling. So give me Lipsky in the spot, especially on DraftKings at 7,800. I don't mind that salary at all. I have her marked down as a GPP play on the cheat sheet. And with Shevchenko, I'm going to be making probably 25 to 30 lineups, and I won't have Antonina Shevchenko in any of them as of right now. So she's going to be a complete fade to me. Basically the same with her sister, but that's more for salary reasons that we'll get into later. But once again, the pick is going to be Lipsky to win a very close decision. And I like her on DraftKings. With Shevchenko at 8,400, I don't really have much interest at all. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Joaquin Buckley at a minus 230 favorite, coming in against Jordan Wright, who's a plus 10, 210 dog. And we have Joaquin Buckley at 8.9K on DraftKings. And then we have, sorry guys, this froze on me, Jordan Wright coming back at 7,300 on DraftKings. And even though I do feel like Buckley is being overhyped off this highlight reel KO in his last fight, I think the hype's starting to get a little ridiculous, but this is a spot where he should still be able to get a win fairly easily. Jordan Wright, as we've seen, he faced absolutely nobody on the regional scene. The first six or seven opponents that he faced, they had a combined record of 0-48. And as we see in the UFC debut, he beat just a total can who really shouldn't be in the UFC at all. And he won that fight by a cut. So we didn't really get to see much action. But Wright does have decent spinning kicks. He has okay body kicks and leg kicks. His boxing is severely lacking, in my opinion. And I feel like he can also get really, really out-muscled. And he lets his opponents lock him down, especially when they're throwing in volume and if they're power hitters. And that's something that Joaquin Buckley is, even though he's lacking in other areas. Joaquin Buckley throws a tons of volume, as we've seen in the Kevin Holland fight and the Impa Kasangane fight. He punches very hard. Really good sneaky kicks that he sets up well. And I just think that he's going to be way too much for a guy like Jordan Wright at this point of their careers. So I'm going to go with Buckley by a first-round knockout. I have Buckley in the cash core. I think he is going to be pretty damn chalky, especially because of all the hype he's coming off of after his KO in the last fight. So I do like him in cash, and he makes a fine GPP play as well. And with Jordan Wright, I really don't have much interest at all unless you're making, 25, 30, 50 lineups somewhere in there. I just think there's better punt options. So the pick is going to be Buckley by first round KO and at 8.9K. I love that salary on DraftKings. He's in the cash core, like I mentioned, and he is fine for GPPs as well. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Brandon Moreno coming in at minus 170 against Brandon Royval coming back at a plus 160 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Moreno coming in at 8,600 and then Revol coming back at 7,600. And I am going to pick Moreno in this spot. I think he's better basically everywhere this fight goes. Maybe Revol might have a slight advantage in pure jiu-jitsu. But besides that, I give Moreno a big time, as far as technically speaking, a big time advantage on the feet. Revol is just really more wild and unorthodox than anything else. And I think it's just a matter of time until it gets exposed. He actually got rocked really bad by Kai Kara France before he found a finish of his own in that fight. And as we saw in Roy Val's UFC debut against Tim Means, he was easily taken down multiple times, and Tim Means passed Roy Bell's guard multiple times very easily up until Tim Means gassed and Roy Bell was able to catch a sub. With Moreno, Roy Bell fought Casey Kenny in the regional scene, and I think Kenny's basically right on par with Moreno. Moreno might be a little bit better. So this is probably the toughest test of Roy Bell's career. And I just think that Moreno is going to be too clean for him everywhere this fight goes. I think Moreno could get takedowns when he wants, and I think Moreno is going to have a big-time advantage on this feat, and especially, like I say, when it just comes to how clean they are with their strikes. And Moreno has really, really cleaned up his boxing ever since he's come back to the UFC. Obviously, we know he has very high-level jiu-jitsu, great cardio, underrated kicks. Roy Bell is going to be Chuck. But just as we've seen, he's put up two big scores in the UFC so far. He's being hyped up as a prospect at 125, and he's at a cheap salary of $7,600. So he is going to be chalky, but I really do like Moreno on this spot. Just like I mentioned, I just think he's better everywhere this fight goes besides pure submissions. So give me Moreno to win a dominant decision, and I'm going to have lots of him on DraftKings. I have him in the GPP core. But I also am going to have a couple Roy Bell lineups, or a few Roy Bell lineups just in case, because there definitely is a path to victory here for him. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Mauricio Shogun Rua coming in at a plus 150 dog versus Paul Craig coming in a minus 160 favorite. We have Paul Craig at 8,500 on DraftKings and Shogun Rua coming in at 7,700 on DraftKings. And this is a rematch from their first fight, which was literally a year ago, November 18th of last year, where they went to a draw. Paul Craig hurt Shogun first real bad in the first round, and then Shogun basically went on to dominate rounds 2 and 3 and ended in a draw. I didn't think Paul Craig did enough in the first round to get a 10-8, so I scored it for Shogun. But obviously the judges saw that differently. But I find it very weird that Shogun was a minus 220 favorite in that first fight. Won two of the rounds, and now he's a plus 150 dog. That doesn't make much sense to me at all. And I know Paul Craig has won some fights, and he's on a good little run for himself. But if we look at the guys he's beating, Ante Gulov is trash, and he's not even in the UFC anymore. Vinicius Morora is horrible, and he's not in the UFC anymore. Kennedy Anchukwu turned out to be a total bust, and he got very lucky against Ankalaev, catching a last-second submission after being dominated. So Paul Craig only has one good win in his UFC record. And like I said, that was Ankalaev, who dominated him for 99.9% of that fight. Obviously, as we all know, Shogun's durability isn't what it used to be. And as we've seen, he's basically getting rocked or wobbled in almost all his fights. But even though his durability isn't there, Shogun is 5-1-1 in his last 7 fights. So it's not like the wheels have completely fallen off and he's going out there and getting KO dead every fight like other legends that we've seen in recent years. I do think Shogun, and as we saw in the first fight, Shogun landed takedowns at will, and he wasn't threatened at all by Paul Craig's guard game and submissions, which is the best part of Craig's game. And I think Rua has a clear path to victory, obviously through wrestling, and I think Shogun can hurt him on the feet as well. So I do like Shogun in this spot. I like him both in cash and GPP, although it's probably a better GPP play just in case he gets cracked early. So I am going to have lots of Shogun on DraftKings, especially at that cheap salary. And with Paul Craig, definitely makes sense to have him in a couple lineups, but it's definitely not somebody I'm going to be heavily investing in just because there's so many other great plays on the slate. And we've seen that Paul Craig doesn't put up the biggest scores in the world, even if he gets a finish. So the pick is going to be Shogun Rua. I'm going to pick him to win by a late TKO somewhere in the third round. But it's definitely a top GPP fight to target on the slate. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Cynthia Calvillo coming in minus 245 favorite against Caitlin Chookagian. We have Cynthia Calvillo coming in at 8,700 on DraftKings. And then Caitlin Chookagian coming back at 7,500 on DraftKings. And for Chookagian, she's been pretty vocal in her interviews in her last 3 or 4 fights now, that she's ready to move on from the sport and she wants to settle down, have kids, and raise a family. And it's really starting to show in her performances. She's now been TKO'd in two of her last three fights. She was finished within a couple minutes in her last fight by a small body shot that got her right on the liver. And Andrade was able to get the finish seconds after that. And then we saw Chookagian have a win over Antonina Shevchenko in between her two losses. But as we talked about earlier, Antonina Shevchenko is just beyond god-awful on her back. And Chookagian was able to exploit that. But for as many as dominant positions that Chookagian got in that fight, it's beyond frightening that she wasn't able to get a finish, which just speaks to, I think, where she is in her career. And as far as Cynthia Calvillo, it's the total opposite. She's on the come up. She's hungry. She's looking for that title shot. She's moved up in divisions. She just beat the number one contender, dominated the number one contender in Jessica Eye. And now they're giving her to Kagan, I'm assuming, as a warm up to a title fight. And I just, at this stage of their careers, I think Calvillo's ever the better everywhere. I think she's the better boxer. I know Chookagian is really good at throwing pitter-patter strikes and screaming out noises and shit like that, but I don't think that's going to work against a dog like Calvillo, who's going to be in your face nonstop, throwing combinations, looking for takedowns. Calvillo has really good – I think she has really good wrestling. I know some people might disagree with that, but especially for the division, I think her wrestling's top notch. And obviously her grappling and her jiu-jitsu is where her bread and butter comes. I just think she's really going to take it to Caitlin Chookagian in this spot. I think Calvillo could get possibly find a finish at some point, a submission, but I am going to pick Calvillo to win a dominant 30-27, possibly a 30-26 decision. And I do like her a lot in DraftKings at 8,700. I have her as a member of the cash core in the cheat sheet. And I also love her in DraftKings. I actually think she's probably going to be fairly low owned considering all the other high scoring options we have in this slate. So I think we might be able to have a sneaky play in our hands with Calvillo here. So give me a lot of Calvillo and Chookagian. I don't really have any interest at all. Even if you're making 50 lineups, we've seen in our DraftKings scores, she scores horribly for the most part. So I have no interest. The next part of the night, we have Mike Perry coming in a -112 favorite against Tim Means, who's a +108 dog. And we have Mike Perry coming in at DraftKings at 8,200, and then Tim Means coming back at 8,000. And if we've seen with Mike Perry, he's obviously going through a rough period in his life right now. He's dealing with domestic violence accusations from his ex-fiance. So he's been having to deal with the repercussions of that. And he just seems, I know he's never been the brightest bulb in the shed, but Perry just seems to be more and more out there each week that passes by. Earlier this week, he was posting videos of himself drinking beer, eating burgers, eating pizza, eating donuts. And then today, as we saw at weigh-ins, he came in and missed weight by over 5 pounds, which was a massive miss. And he doesn't even have a real team around him anymore. He left his team and his coaches. His new girlfriend is his main corner man or corner woman, I should say. She doesn't have any MMA or athletic experience at all. So that's beyond confusing. And we saw in the last fight, Perry didn't look good at all. He got completely outclassed on the feet against a grappler and Mickey Gall. And then Mickey Gall completely gassed like he always does after the first round. And Perry was able to land takedowns and just control the fight like that. But against a bulldog like Tim Means, who's the more technical striker, throws a more volume, has a much cleaner, sharper strikes. Tim Means is a very underrated grappler, in my opinion. And he probably could get takedowns if he wants here. But I just think Means is going to be able to pick Perry apart on the feet over the span of 15 minutes. Straight shots down the middle, knees to the body, leg kicks. Means has good footwork. The only concerns about Means is he's getting up there in age, so his chin isn't what it used to be. But at the end of the day, Means has had 43 pro fights, and he's only been TKO'd two times, and one of those was because he broke his arm in 2004. And his other KO loss was to Nico Price a few years ago. But as we all know, Nico is one of the hardest punchers in the division and one of the best finishers in all of MMA. And Means was winning that fight before he was dominating that fight before he got KO'd. And I think that means, honestly, I think he's basically better everywhere this fight goes besides pure punching power. So I'm going to have tons of Tim Means on DraftKings. He's in the GPP core with Brandon Moreno and Divison Figueiredo. And I really love him in that spot and that salary. And with Mike Perry, I have him marked down as a risky GPP play on this cheat sheet. So I'll probably have him in a couple lineups, but especially as we've seen with him missing weight horribly today, eating junk food during the week, not having coaches, not having a team around him. It's just, I really can't suggest investing your money into Mike Perry this week. But like I said, he probably is worth a shot or two in GPPs if you're making a bunch of lineups just for the possible KO upside. Moving on to the next fight of the night, the co-main event, we have Valentina Shevchenko as a -1350 favorite, coming in against the challenger Jennifer Maia at a +950 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Valentina Shevchenko with a ridiculous salary of 9,600 against Jennifer Maia coming back at 6,600. Excuse me. And just to be clear, I am definitely am picking Shevchenko to win this fight. I think she's clearly better everywhere. It's just a salary of 9,600 on DraftKings. I mean, you're going to need Valentina to score a minimum of 120, which she's never done. She's actually only been over 100 points three times, and Valentina's only scored over 105 points one time. So as we know, she doesn't throw with the most volume in the world. And if she's not getting finishes, she isn't really scoring all that well in DraftKings. And as we've seen in some of her five-round decisions, she has 91 in a five-round decision, 65 in a five-round decision, and then 86 in a five-round decision. And at 9,600 on DraftKings, if she scores 85, 90 points, that's going to kill you. So you basically, if you're rostering Shevchenko in GPPs, you're going to need Shevchenko to score, be the highest scorer on the slate for her to be optimal. I don't see any way how she outscores Kosk, Rodriguez, and Figueiredo and Buckley, who all I think could get finishes at some point and probably early on. So Valentina Shevchenko is going to be the safest play on the slate. But just like I said, because of that salary at 9,600, she's going to be a complete fade for me. Excuse me. Maybe I'll throw her in one or two GPPs, but that's going to be it out of 20 lineups. And with Jennifer Maia at 6,600, I think she makes a fine cash punt. If you roster Jennifer Maia in cash, that's the only punt that you have to roster in your cash lineup. You can play five favorites besides her. And so basically, when that's my plan for cash games, I'm basically hoping that the fighter, so in this spot, Jennifer Maia at the price of 6,600, if she could get me close to 20, 25 points in cash, and then which allows me to pay for a favorite and all the other five spots, I'll be more than happy with that. So I do have Jennifer Maia in the cash core. I am not picking her to win. Like I said, Valentina is the safest pick to win on the slate. But just because of pricing and how the slate looks, I do think Jennifer Maia at 6,600 in cash games, you can throw in here and then you can play five favorites. And I mean, if your five favorites win, you're easily going to cash. So Jennifer Maia in cash games, I don't really have any interest in her in GPPs. And with Valentina Shevchenko, even though I think she is definitely the safest play on the slate, I can't pay up for that salary of 9,600. So saying that, let's move on to the main event of the evening. We have the champion, Davison Figueiredo, at a -260 favorite, going against the challenger, Alex Perez, as a +240 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Davison Figueiredo at a 9,000, and then we have Alex Perez coming back at 7,200. And this isn't a fun matchup, and I definitely think Perez could win. Perez throws with much more volume than Figueiredo does. He probably has slightly better cardio. He looks to wrestle at times. He has good movement on the feet, good leg kicks, solid boxing, and solid power. So there's definitely a path for Perez to win this fight if he doesn't get clipped by a big shot. It's just
We have seen Perez clipped by big shots in the past, and he was finished any time.
What's up, everybody? It's Rampage Hand 420. I'm back to do another DraftKings breakdown for UFC 255. So saying that, let's dig into the first fight of the night. We have Nicholas Dalby, a plus 290 dog, versus Daniel Rodriguez, a minus 320 favorite. And on DraftKings, we have Daniel Rodriguez as a 9,100. And then we have Dalby coming back at 7,100. And I'm like Daniel Rodriguez a lot in this spot. The volume on the feet, the power he throws with, the technical boxing, I think it's just going to be way too much for this version of Nicholas Dalby. As we've seen in recent fights, Dalby really isn't what he used to be. His whole career, he's been known for being able to take lots of damage and being able to work himself back in the fights as they go on. But as we've seen the last year or two, we've seen he isn't able to take the damage he once was. He's getting rocked more and more, and his last fight was very concerning, where he got badly hurt with a left hook, and that's what Daniel Rodriguez's best punch is. And I just don't think Dalby will be able to keep up at all with the output that Rodriguez throws with. And I think Rodriguez is one of the safest plays on the slate. At 9,100, he has great upside, as we've seen before. His DraftKings scores in his three fights are 127, 125, and 124. So he has some of the biggest upside on the entire slate, even in decision. And he is going to be in the cash core and the cheat sheet that I make. And I also love him in GPPs. So I'm going to have lots of Rodriguez. And Dalby, I didn't even put him on the cheat sheet. If you're somebody that makes 50 to 100 lineups and you want to throw him in one or two, be my guest. But besides that, I don't think you need to have any at all. The next fight of the night, we have Lewis Kosk making his UFC debut as a minus 475 favorite against Sasha Palatnikov as a plus 420 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Kosk as the second most expensive fighter at 9,300 and Palatnikov at 6,900. And I like Kosk a lot in this spot. This is a matchup where he should really be able to shine. I feel like Sasha Palatnikov, he's more of a serviceable journeyman that will probably be able to hang around the UFC for a few fights. But I don't see him having much success. There isn't any areas where he really stands out. He throws with decent volume on the feet, and he has solid power, but it really pales in comparison to what Lewis Kosk has to offer, who, as we've seen, has finished every single one of his fights in the first round, which is obviously great for DraftKings, but also we don't know what he's going to look like if this fight drags on into round two and into rounds two or rounds three. So because of that, I do like Kosk. Primarily in GPPs, and I do think he offers a nice low-owned, high-upside GPP play that makes a nice contrarian pivot off of Rodriguez, Figueiredo, Buckley, and Shevchenko. And with Palatnikov, like I said, again, if you're somebody that's going to be making over 25, 50-plus lineups, you want to throw Palatnikov in a lineup or two, be my guest. But besides that, I have no interest at all in him. So again, just to recap. The play on DraftKings is Lewis Kosk at 9,300, and I am going to pick him to win by first round knockout. Moving on to the next fight tonight, we have Alan Joban coming in at a minus 140 favorite versus Jaron Gooden at a plus 130 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Joban coming in at 8,300, and then we have Gooden coming back at 7,900. And with Gooden, and when I was breaking down film of him, I really didn't find anything that was overly too impressive. He does have decent power in his hands, but he's really reliant on one shot. He doesn't really throw good combinations. He knows he has that KO power in his hands, and he tries to force it instead of just kind of pitter-pattering his opponents until the big punch comes. So he is very readable. And I think a guy like Joban, who's a very savvy vet, has some really good UFC wins. Although he is getting older now, he's going to be 39 soon. I just think Joban's going to be too crafty. He's going to be too slick on the feet. I think he get takedowns if you want. And Gooden is really awful on his back, which is a major concern in this spot. So I do think Gooden is going to carry some ownership on DraftKings, but I'm definitely going to be underweight on Gooden just because, like I said, besides carrying some good power in his punches, I don't really think he offers much else. And I honestly don't really think he's UFC level, or if maybe he's bottom barrel UFC level.
And I just, like I said, I just think a guy like Joe Ban's going to be too crafty and will be able to win a decision in this spot. If Joe Ban decides to wrestle, I definitely think he could have success there. But I'm going to pick Joe Ban to win a pretty clear decision on the feet. And as we've seen, Joe Ban has scored pretty well in his DraftKings on his wins. If we look at his scores, he has wins of 132, which was a finish, 84 in a decision, 92 in a decision, and 70 decision. And then he has 116, 109, and 96 in KO wins. So I think with Joe Ban at 8,300, I think worst case scenario, you're probably looking at low 80s in a win. And I mean, he has GPP winning upside well north of 100 points. So Joe Ban is going to be the play here. I do have him marked down as a cash and GPP play on the cheat sheet. I probably prefer him slightly more in GPP just because, like I said, he is almost 39 now, and eventually that chin's going to fall off a cliff. But I do like Joe Ban in this spot, and I'll probably be slightly overweight on DraftKings. And with Gooden, like I said, I'm going to be underweight to the field. Even though I still will have a few shares because he is KO or bust. Moving on to the next fight of the night, which should be a fun one. We have Kyle Daukaus coming in as a minus 290 favorite versus Dustin Stoltzfus at a plus 265 dog. And I am going to pick Daukaus in this fight, but I really think this fight's going to be much, much closer than people are making it out to be. I think Stoltzfus will be able to get off to a fairly solid early start in the first round. I think he could land a few takedowns. And he does have solid power in his hands, so I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's able to land some good shots on Daukaus. It's just Daukaus is going to be the bigger fighter. He's going to be much stronger. I think Stoltzfus should probably consider dropping down to 170. It seems like his body is more suited for that weight class. And I think he's going to be out-muscled and just going to be out-willed in the tough spots, especially in the mat against a guy like Daukaus, who we know is very, very, very good grappling. He throws with good combinations on the feet. He is pretty hittable. So like I said, Stoltzfus, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he can land some big shots and possibly wobble him. And as I mentioned as well, I think Stoltzfus can land a couple of takedowns. It's just, as the fight goes on, I think Daukaus will be able to use his size, especially on the mat, to start to break Stoltzfus and potentially leading to a late sub or a decision. So I do like Daukaus. I don't love the salary. I'll be honest. I think there's other fighters in that same range I like more, kind of like Buckley at 8,900, Figgy at 9,000, guys like Moreno, Calvillo, they're even cheaper than Daukaus. So I will have a couple of shares of Daukaus in GPPs, but he's definitely not going to be a priority for me. And with Stoltzfus, he's definitely a fine GPP punt. It's just, the more I dug into this fight, the more I just became concerned that Daukaus will be able to really put it on him on the mat. So I'll probably end up being somewhere around 28 to 30. Like, max, I'll have 27, 28% Stoltzfus, but it might even be a little bit lower than that. So in general, again, the play is going to be Daukaus. If you want to throw Stoltzfus in a GPP lineup or two, it's fine, but this isn't a fight I'm really going out of my way to get into a majority of my lineups, even though it does have sneaky upside. There's probably four or five other fights that I do think have the potential to be optimal over this one. So saying that, moving on to the next fight, I don't really have too much interest in this. We have Antonina Shevchenko as a minus 150 favorite against Ariane Lipsky as a plus 140 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Antonina Shevchenko, at 8,400. And then we have Lipsky coming back at 7,800. And with Antonina Shevchenko, she's the older sister of the champion Valentina Shevchenko. And Antonina doesn't have one millionth of the talent that Valentina has. Antonina has some, obviously, she is a very solid Muay Thai and kickboxing on the feet. There's good straight shots. But she is very hittable. And when her takedown defense is pretty poor, and when she's on her back, I mean, it's Antonina looks like she's a dead turtle that's upside down. So it's when at a salary of 8,600, when there's other fighters in that same rank, I'm sorry, at a salary 8,400, when we have other fighters like Joban, Perry, Means, Craig, Moreno, Calvillo, all above and below her, I think it's going to be borderline impossible for Shevchenko to be optimal, especially in this matchup. And as we've seen in her other fights, in her two wins, she has 76 points and then 81 points, and both of them were decisions. And then if we've seen her losses, she's been just destroyed on the ground. And I think that is going to be the path to victory for Lipsky here. I think it's hard to trust her to commit to a wrestling-heavy game plan. But I do think Lipsky will be able to hang in there in the feet. I think she can – her volume has been a little bit down since she's came to the UFC, but as we've seen on the regional scene, she threw with way more output than she is now. So I think eventually – now that she's been in the UFC for four fights, I think she's kind of starting to find her groove. She'll settle down more, and then we'll see her real skill start to come out. And I just think over the span of three rounds, I think Lipsky will be able to do more, and especially when she has a massive, massive hole in Shevchenko's game that she can exploit with a grappling. So give me Lipsky in the spot, especially on DraftKings at 7,800. I don't mind that salary at all. I have her marked down as a GPP play on the cheat sheet. And with Shevchenko, I'm going to be making probably 25 to 30 lineups, and I won't have Antonina Shevchenko in any of them as of right now. So she's going to be a complete fade to me. Basically the same with her sister, but that's more for salary reasons that we'll get into later. But once again, the pick is going to be Lipsky to win a very close decision, and I like her on DraftKings. With Shevchenko at 8,400, I don't really have much interest at all. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Joaquin Buckley at a minus 230 favorite coming in against Jordan Wright, who's a plus 10, 210 dog. And we have Joaquin Buckley at 8.9K on DraftKings. And then we have, sorry guys, this grows on me, Jordan Wright coming back at 7,300 on DraftKings. And even though I do feel like Buckley is being overhyped off this highlight reel KO in his last fight, I think the hype's starting to get a little ridiculous, but this is a spot where he should still be able to get a win fairly easily. Jordan Wright, as we've seen, he faced absolutely nobody on the regional scene. The first six or seven opponents that he faced, they had a combined record of 0-48. And as we see in the UFC debut, he beat just a total can who really shouldn't be in the UFC at all, and he won that fight by a cut. So we didn't really get to see much action, but Wright does have decent spinning kicks. He has okay body kicks and leg kicks. His boxing is severely lacking, in my opinion, and I feel like he can also get really, really out-muscled, and he lets his opponents walk him down, especially when they're throwing in volume and if they're power hitters. And that's something that Joaquin Buckley is, even though he's lacking in other areas. Joaquin Buckley throws a tons of volume, as we've seen in the Kevin Holland fight and the Impa Kisangane fight. He punches very hard. Really good sneaky kicks that he sets up well. And I just think that he's going to be way too much for a guy like Jordan Wright at this point of their careers. So I'm going to go with Buckley by a first round knockout. I have Buckley in the cash core. I think he is going to be pretty damn chalky, especially because of all the hype he's coming off of his KO in the last fight. So I do like him in cash, and he makes a fine GPP play as well. And with Jordan Wright, I really don't have much interest at all unless you're making 25, 30, 50 lineups somewhere in there. I just think there's better punt options. So the pick is going to be Buckley by first round KO and at 8.9K. I love that salary on DraftKings. He's in the cash core, like I mentioned, and he is fine for GPPs as well. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Brandon Moreno coming in at minus 170 against Brandon Royval coming back at a plus 160 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Moreno coming in at 8,600 and then Royval coming back at 7,600. And I am going to pick Moreno in this spot. I think he's better basically everywhere this fight goes. Maybe Royval might have a slight advantage in pure jiu-jitsu, but besides that, I give Moreno a big time, as far as technically speaking, a big time advantage on the feet. Royval is just really more wild and unorthodox than anything else, and I think it's just a matter of time until it gets exposed. He actually got rocked really bad by Kai Kara-France before he found a finish of his own in that fight. And as we saw in Roy Val's UFC debut against Tim Means, he was easily taken down multiple times, and Tim Means passed Roy Val's guard multiple times very easily up until Tim Means gassed and Roy Val was able to catch a sub. With Moreno, Roy Val fought Casey Kenny in the regional scene, and I think Kenny's basically right on par with Moreno. Moreno might be a little bit better. So this is probably the toughest test of Roy Val's career. And I just think that Moreno is going to be too clean for him everywhere this fight goes. I think Moreno could get takedowns when he wants, and I think Moreno is going to have a big-time advantage on this feat, and especially, like I say, when it just comes to how clean they are with their strikes. And Moreno has really, really cleaned up his boxing ever since he's come back to the UFC. Obviously, we know he has very high-level jiu-jitsu, great cardio, underrated kicks. Roy Val is going to be Chuck. But just as we've seen, he's put up two big scores in the UFC so far. He's being hyped up as a prospect at 125, and he's at a cheap salary of 7,600. So he is going to be chalky, but I really do like Moreno on this spot. Just like I mentioned, I just think he's better everywhere this fight goes besides pure submissions. So give me Moreno to win a dominant decision, and I'm going to have lots of him on DraftKings. I have him in the GPP core. But I also am going to have a couple Roy Val lineups, or a few Roy Val lineups just in case, because there definitely is a path to victory here for him. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Mauricio Shogun Rua coming in at a plus 150 dog versus Paul Craig coming in a minus 160 favorite. We have Paul Craig at 8,500 on DraftKings and Shogun Rua coming in at 7,700 on DraftKings. And this is a rematch from their first fight, which was literally a year ago, November 18th of last year, where they went to a draw. Paul Craig hurt Shogun first real bad in the first round, and then Shogun basically went on to dominate rounds 2 and 3 and ended in a draw. I didn't think Paul Craig did enough in the first round to get a 10-8, so I scored it for Shogun. But obviously the judges saw that differently. But I find it very weird that Shogun was a minus 220 favorite in that first fight. Won two of the rounds, and now he's a plus 150 dog. That doesn't make much sense to me at all. And I know Paul Craig has won some fights, and he's on a good little run for himself. But if we look at the guys he's beating, Ante Gulov is trash, and he's not even in the UFC anymore. Vinicius Morora is horrible, and he's not in the UFC anymore. Kennedy Nchukwu turned out to be a total bust, and he got very lucky against Ankalaev, catching a last-second submission after being dominated. So Paul Craig only has one good win in his UFC record. And like I said, that was Ankalaev, who dominated him for 99.9% of that fight. Obviously, as we all know, Shogun's durability isn't what it used to be. And as we've seen, he's basically getting rocked or wobbled in almost all his fights. But even saying that, even though his durability isn't there, Shogun is 5-1-1 in his last 7 fights. So it's not like the wheels have completely fallen off and he's going out there and getting KO dead every fight like other legends that we've seen in recent years. I do think Shogun, and as we saw in the first fight, Shogun landed takedowns at will, and he wasn't threatened at all by Paul Craig's guard game and submissions, which is the best part of Craig's game. And I think Rua has a clear path to victory, obviously through wrestling, and I think Shogun can hurt him on the feet as well. So I do like Shogun in this spot. I like him both in cash and GPP, although it's probably a better GPP play just in case he gets cracked early. So I am going to have lots of Shogun on DraftKings, especially at that cheap salary. And with Paul Craig, definitely makes sense to have him in a couple lineups, but it's definitely not somebody I'm going to be heavily investing in just because there's so many other great plays on the slate. And we've seen that Paul Craig doesn't put up the biggest scores in the world, even if he gets a finish. So the pick is going to be Shogun Rua. I'm going to pick him to win by a late TKO somewhere in the third round. But it's definitely a top GPP fight to target on the slate. Moving on to the next fight of the night, we have Cynthia Calvillo coming in minus 245 favorite against Caitlin Chookagian. We have Cynthia Calvillo coming in at 8,700 on DraftKings. And then Caitlin Chookagian coming back at 7,500 on DraftKings. And 4-2 Kagan, she's been pretty vocal in her, over interviews in her last, three or four fights now, that she's ready to move on from the sport and she wants to settle down, have kids, and raise a family. And it's really starting to show in her performances. She's now been TKO'd in two of her last three fights. She was finished within a couple minutes in her last fight by a really a small body shot that got her right on the liver. And Andrade was able to get the finish seconds after that. And then we saw Chukagian have a win over Antonina Shevchenko in between her two losses. But as we talked about earlier, Antonina Shevchenko is just beyond god-awful on her back. And Chukagian was able to exploit that. But for as many as dominant positions that Chukagian got in that fight, it's beyond frightening that she wasn't able to get a finish, which just speaks to, I think, where she is in her career. And as far as Cynthia Calvillo, it's the total opposite. She's on the come up. She's hungry. She's looking for that title shot. She's moved up in divisions. She just beat the number one contender, dominated the number one contender in Jessica Eye. And now they're giving her to Kagan, I'm assuming, as a warm up to a title fight. And I just, at this stage of their careers, I think Calvillo's ever the better everywhere. I think she's the better boxer. I know Chukagian is really good at throwing pitter-patter strikes and screaming out noises and shit like that, but I don't think that's going to work against a dog like Calvillo. It's going to be in your face nonstop, throwing combinations, looking for takedowns. Calvillo has really good – I think she has really good wrestling. I know some people might disagree with that, but especially for the division, I think her wrestling's top notch. And obviously her grappling and her jiu-jitsu is where her bread and butter comes. I just think she's really going to take it to Caitlin Chukagian in this spot. I think Calvillo could get possibly find a finish at some point, a submission, but I am going to pick Calvillo to win a dominant 30-27, possibly a 30-26 decision. And I do like her a lot in DraftKings at 8,700. I have her in the as a member of the cash core in the cheat sheet, and I also love her in DraftKings. I actually think she's probably going to be fairly low-owned considering all the other high-scoring options we have in this slate. So I think we might be able to have a sneaky play in our hands with Calvillo here. So give me a lot of Calvillo and Chukagian. I don't really have any interest at all. Even if you're making 50 lineups, we've seen in our DraftKings scores, she scores horribly for the most part. So I have no interest. The next fight of the night, we have Mike Perry coming in a -112 favorite against Tim Means, who's a +108 dog. And we have Mike Perry coming in at DraftKings at 8,200, and then Tim Means coming back at 8,000. And if we've seen with Mike Perry, he's obviously going through a rough period in his life right now. He's dealing with domestic violence accusations from his ex-fiance. So he's been having to deal with the repercussions of that. And he just seems, I know he's never been the brightest bulb in the shed, but Perry just seems to be more and more out there each week that passes by. Earlier this week, he was posting videos of himself drinking beer, eating burgers, eating pizza, eating donuts. And then today, as we saw at weigh-ins, he came in and missed weight by over 5 pounds, which was a massive miss. And he doesn't even have a real team around him anymore. He left his team and his coaches. His new girlfriend is his main corner man or corner woman, I should say. She doesn't have any MMA or athletic experience at all. So that's beyond confusing. And we saw in the last fight, Perry didn't look good at all. He got completely outclassed on the feet against a grappler in Mickey Gall. And then Mickey Gall completely gassed like he always does after the first round. And Perry was able to land takedowns and just control the fight like that. But against a bulldog like Tim Means, who's the more technical striker, throws a more volume, has a much cleaner, sharper strikes. Tim Means is a very underrated grappler, in my opinion. And he probably could get takedowns if he wants here. But I just think Means is going to be able to pick Perry apart on the feet over the span of 15 minutes. Straight shots down the middle, knees to the body, leg kicks. Means has good footwork. The only concerns about Means is he's getting up there in age, so his chin isn't what it used to be. But at the end of the day, Means has had 43 pro fights. And he's only been TKO'd two times. And one of those was because he broke his arm in 2004. And his other KO loss was to Nico Price a few years ago. But as we all know, Nico was one of the hardest punchers in the division and one of the best finishers in all of MMA. And Means was winning that fight before he was dominating that fight before he got KO'd. And I think that Means, honestly, I think he's basically better everywhere this fight goes besides pure punching power. So I'm going to have tons of Tim Means on DraftKings. He's in the GPP core with Brandon Moreno and Divison Figueiredo. And I really love him in that spot and that salary. And with Mike Perry, I have him marked down as a risky GPP play on this cheat sheet. So I'll probably have him in a couple lineups, but especially as we've seen with him missing weight horribly today, eating junk food during the week, not having coaches, not having a team around him. It's just, I really can't suggest investing your money into Mike Perry this week. But like I said, he probably is worth a shot or two in GPPs if you're making a bunch of lineups just for the possible KO upside. Moving on to the next fight of the night, the co-main event, we have Valentina Shevchenko as a minus 1350 favorite, coming in against the challenger Jennifer Maia at a plus 950 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Valentina Shevchenko with a ridiculous salary of 9,600 against Jennifer Maia coming back at 6,600. Excuse me. And just to be clear, I am definitely picking Shevchenko to win this fight. I think she's clearly better everywhere. It's just a salary of 9,600 on DraftKings. I mean, you're going to need Valentina to score a minimum of 120, which she's never done. She's actually only been over 100 points three times, and Valentina's only scored over 105 points one time. So as we know, she doesn't throw with the most volume in the world. And if she's not getting finishes, she isn't really scoring all that well in DraftKings. And as we've seen in some of her five-round decisions, she has 91 in a five-round decision, 65 in a five-round decision, and then 86 in a five-round decision. And at 9,600 on DraftKings, if she scores 85, 90 points, that's going to kill you. So you basically, if you're rostering Shevchenko in GPPs, you're going to need Shevchenko to score, be the highest scorer on the slate for her to be optimal. I don't see any way how she outscores Kosk Rodriguez and Figueiredo and Buckley, who all I think could get finishes at some point and probably early on. So Valentina Shevchenko is going to be the safest play on the slate. But just like I said, because of that salary at 9,600, she's going to be a complete fade for me. Excuse me. Maybe I'll throw her in one or two GPPs, but that's going to be it out of 20 lineups. And with Jennifer Maia at 6,600, I think she makes a fine cash punt. If you roster Jennifer Maia in cash, that's the only punt that you have to roster in your cash lineup. You can play five favorites besides her. And so basically, when that's my plan for cash games, I'm basically hoping that the fighter, so in this spot, Jennifer Maia at the price of 6,600, if she could get me close to 20, 25 points in cash, and then which allows me to pay for a favorite and all the other five spots, I'll be more than happy with that. So I do have Jennifer Maia in the cash core. I am not picking her to win. Like I said, Valentina is the safest pick to win on the slate. But just because of pricing and how the slate looks, I do think Jennifer Maia at 6,600 in cash games, you can throw in here and then you can play five favorites. And I mean, if your five favorites win, you're easily going to cash. So Jennifer Maia in cash games, I don't really have any interest in her in GPPs. And with Valentina Shevchenko, even though I think she is definitely the safest play on the slate, I can't pay up for that salary of 9,600. So saying that, let's move on to the main event of the evening. We have the champion, Davison Figueiredo, at a minus 260 favorite, going against the challenger, Alex Perez, as a plus 240 dog. And on DraftKings, we have Davison Figueiredo at a 9,000, and then we have Alex Perez coming back at 7,200. And this isn't a fun matchup, and I definitely think Perez could win. Perez throws with much more volume than Figueiredo does. He probably has slightly better cardio. He looks to wrestle at times. He has good movement on the feet, good leg kicks, solid boxing, and solid power. So there's definitely a path for Perez to win this fight if he doesn't get clipped by a big shot. It's just, we have seen Perez clipped by big shots in the past, and he was finished any time